Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
The special three-hour presentation
with Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, it's 8 minutes after 11 p.m. here on the WGN Radio Theater. This is program 251 in this series. It's January 21st. It's a Sunday. And to my right, the vivacious and effervescent and very dimply Lisa Wolf. What's up, Lisa?
Well, somebody's got to be smiling around here, so yeah. It ought to be me. Hi, Carl.
I'm in a much better mood tonight because we didn't get on at 18 minutes after 11
p.m.
You
were so mad last night.
Yeah, 18 minutes after Roger,
oh, don't
we got
start
on yesterday.
Don't
what
start
time
up.
Zone?
Yeah,
what time zone?
The West Coast.
West Coast. Oh, yeah.
Roger, he has a short fuse. I have to
there
keep
was
him
steam.
Happy.
Are you calling him short again?
There was
yes,
steam coming
I
out
am.
Of my ears.
I know, I saw the steam.
It doesn't take much. It does not take much.
I know.
Yeah. In the booth, we have Shante Garth, and we have Jen DeSalvo doing the traffic. Hi, Jen.
Hi, Jen.
How are you?
Good evening, guys.
It's good to see you and to hear you.
Yeah, it's great seeing you guys, too.
Yeah.
We're happy to have you with us.
Well, you're going to love the first classic radio show we're airing because it stars Lucille Ball.
Oh.
She had a regular radio show before her I Love Lucy television show, so you're going to hear some vintage Lucille Ball radio. Then it's Richard Diamond, Private Detective, starring Dick Powell. Then Orson Welles stars in The Black Museum, and it's all brought to you by Cats Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cats Pride. Meow!
This actor stars in the upcoming film Ant-Man and the Wasp and struggles to rebalance his home life with his responsibilities as Ant-Man.
Yeah.
I think that must be a tough combination there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He starred as Ant-Man in an original. This is the, I guess, the sequel.
Yes. Oh, you're giving hints now.
And
the winner will get a MyPillow.
Wow. Not going to get my pillow.
Not your pillow, but a brand new one.
Oh,
we don't want yours.
You don't want the one I've been sleeping on for 3 years?
Not really.
All right. The number to call, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. This actor starred in I Love You, Man.
I'm working like a dog. But, you know, the usual stuff.
I remember that scene, and I love that
movie.
It's one of my favorites.
Oh, my gosh. I love this movie. 312-981-7200. Give us a call. Win a MyPillow. We'll be right back.
This is show 251 of the WGN Radio Theater. We are playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play it again.
I'm working like a dog.
A dog?
But, you know, usual. The huge.
The
stuff.
Huge.
It's just, you can feel how uncomfortable
so
he is after under that. Hi, James. How are you?
Hey, Paul Rudd.
Good, good. Great to hear from you. Who is that actor?
He said Paul Rudd.
Oh, I didn't hear Paul Rudd. Yay. You're right. How do you like that? Congratulations. I'm sorry, what?
I said, I love you, man.
I love you, man. You got it. You have one of my pillow. It is a great pillow and guaranteed the most comfortable pillow you will ever own. Visit MyPillow.com, and we hope in the weeks to come you'll have your MyPillow and you can lay in your bed and listen to these great radio shows with us.
I need one.
Absolutely. Enjoy it. Take care.
Thanks, James.
A lot for calling in.
All right. It's time for Classic Radio. But first, I want to tell you about our text in line, 312-981-7200. That is our text in line. Lisa loves getting texts. Right, Lisa?
Yeah. I have nothing to do. So,
sleeping in the corner because people weren't texting.
Yeah, I'm just a sleepy gal. But I do love hearing from you guys. I'm talking to people live throughout the show. And I do love communicating with you throughout the night.
Yeah, so
thanks
text
so much.
Us. And any suggestions or any radio radio shows you want to hear. Any questions, 312-981-7200, our text in line.
We don't like complaints, though.
No, we just like happy
people. If you're not happy, don't bother. Yeah,
that's right. And you will be happy if you order a surprise box. People have been ordering these surprise boxes, and we've been getting lots of texts and lots of emails. I do appreciate it. It's so nice when they order something from us and they get it and they let us know how much they like it. Just go to WGNRadiotheater.com. There'll be a pop-up, and you'll learn all about this surprise box program that we have going on. If you want to collect classic radio shows on CD or classic movies and television shows on DVD or Twilight Zone radio dramas on CDs, this is the place to get them. Just go to WGNRadiotheater.com. You'll see a pop-up. Learn all about the surprise boxes. You can get a $150 worth of classic radio shows, $150 worth of classic TV and movies, and $150 worth of Twilight Zone CDs, only $39.99 each. For each surprise box, just go to Twilight Zone, go to WGNRadiotheater.com. And when you're there, very important, folks, scroll down on our website, and you will see a banner for our brand new app. We have an app for old-time radio lovers, and that's you. You can download our app. Just click on the Google Store or click on the Apple Store right at our website, and you will be able to download our free app, which has 10 classic radio shows on it. It's our way of thanking you for listening to our show. And you downloaded it yesterday, right, Lisa?
I sure did.
Yeah, and yep. You listened to Jack Benny today?
I did this morning.
Yeah, it's a free app. It's for all of our listeners. Just go to our website, WGNRadiotheater.com. Okay, time now for Lucille Ball as Liz Cooper on this show. Situation Comedy premiered in 1948. Lucille Ball, along with Richard Denning, they played Liz and George Cooper, a married couple billed as two people who live together and like it. It was sponsored by Jell-O. It was a very funny show, and we have an episode for you now from June 11th, 1950. Liz Learns to Swim, part one now of My Favorite Husband.
It's time for My Favorite Husband, starring Lucille Ball.
Jell-O, everybody.
Yes, it's the Gay Family Series starring Lucille Ball with Richard Denning, transcribed and brought to you by the Jell-O family of desserts.
J-E-L-L-O, the big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. Oh, the big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. That's Jell-O.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O puddings.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O tapioca puddings. Yes, sirree.
And now Lucille Ball with Richard Denning as Liz and George Cooper, two people who live together and like it. As we look in on the Coopers tonight, summertime is fast approaching, and Liz has roused herself from spring fever long enough to go on a shopping spree for some beach clothes.
Katie, come here a minute, will you?
Yes, Mrs. Cooper, what is it?
I want you to take a look at my new sundress. How do you like it?
Is that it?
Yes, this is what they're showing this year.
Really? That's what they were hiding last year.
Oh, Katie, how do you like it?
Well, it's very nice. How do you keep it up without any straps?
Well, it's a new theory, Katie. It's held up by the wind from men whistling at you.
Katie, see all my new play clothes? My goodness, did you buy all those this morning?
Yes, I want to look good for George. He's going to see a lot of me this summer.
He's not the only one.
I even bought one of those new French bathing suits. It's there on the bed.
Well, I don't see it. Here's your slacks, pedal pushers, your beach robe, and this little green handkerchief.
Well, that's funny. Oh, here it is. No wonder you couldn't see the bathing suit. It was under the handkerchief.
Are you really going to wear that?
I will if George will let me.
Oh, he will. Men like women in scanty bathing suits.
If the women aren't their wives. A man will admire a scanty suit on a blonde at the beach, but let his wife put on that same suit, and he says, You're not going out like that, are you?
How true. Oh, I forgot. The mail came a while ago. Here it is.
Thanks. Anything for me?
No.
Oh, I never get any. Oh, here's a letter for me.
Really?
Yeah, see? Occupant, 321 Bundy Drive. I think I'll change my name to Occupant Cooper, and then I'll get as much mail as George does.
There's one there addressed to Mr. and Mrs. George Cooper.
Oh, good. Where is it? I'm entitled to read every other line.
Here.
Oh, no.
Well, what's the matter?
It's from Weeping Willow Ranch. You know, that dude ranch where we spent our vacation last year.
Are you going there again?
Over my dead body. Oh, Katie, it's awful. 1 week there and you understand why the willows are weeping. The planned fun starts at 6 o'clock in the morning. You bound out of bed and run into breakfast.
You did that?
Are you kidding? I crawled out of bed and was led into breakfast.
How was the food?
Oh, not food, Katie. Chuck.
Chuck.
Yes, and they couldn't have thought of a better name for it. Oh, Katie. George must have written asking about reservations again this year. This is an answer saying they can take us.
Aw.
I don't want to go there. I want to go to the beach with the Atterburys.
Well, maybe you can talk Mr. Cooper into it.
Why, Katie, I'd never try to talk George into anything. We'll discuss it calmly, examine the best features of both places, and then go to the one we think is best, the beach. Well, did you like your dinner, George, little baby honey?
Yes, dear, it was fine.
Are you comfortable in that chair, George? Would you like another pillow behind your back?
No, thanks.
Oh, it's no trouble at all. I'll just get another pillow and then...
Liz, you've got so many pillows behind my back now, my head's between my knees.
Oh. Well, shall I get you a pair of slippers?
Yes, I'll wear them on my hands.
What? Oh, you already have your slippers on, don't you, dear?
Okay, Liz, what have you done?
Nothing, dear.
What are you planning to do?
Nothing.
Look, I know all the signals. You're fattening me up for the kill. Now, let's have it.
I have nothing on my mind.
Really?
Absolutely. Go ahead, go to that lousy Weeping Willow Ranch. Oh, darn.
Well, I gather from this that we heard from the ranch. Did you open the letter?
Yes, it came addressed to both of us.
What did it say?
I only read every other line. Mm-hmm.
Come on, Liz, what did every other line say?
It said, Dear Saddle Pals, in reply to your letter of, delighted to have you dig your spurs into, our new manager and courteous waitress. Rates this year are $20 private cottage or $15 if you share it with one of our new cow ponies. Signed, the old Wrangler.
Very clever. I suppose we're going to have our yearly debate about where to spend the vacation.
Okay, debate. The question is, resolved that we are not going to spend our vacation at that stinky old Weeping Willow Ranch. You take the negative. Go ahead.
Madam Chairman, I were the opponent and friends. I like the stinky old Weeping Willow Ranch. I think it's one of the nicest...
Time's up. Now for the affirmative.
Now, wait a minute.
Oh, let's not talk about it, George. Let's just not go.
Can you suggest a better place?
Yes, I'd like to go to the beach.
The beach?
Oh, come now. You must have heard of it. The Atterburys are going, and I thought it would be fun if we'd go, too.
Well, but there's nothing to do at the beach.
Oh.
Everybody covers themselves with oil and lies in the sun all day, slowly turning so they'll get done all over. It's nothing but a big sandy barbecue pit.
I suppose you never heard of swimming.
Well, I have, but I didn't think you did. The closest you ever came to the water was when a dog came up to you and shook himself. You don't even know how to swim.
I'll learn.
I've heard that song before.
Oh, but George, the swimming suits are so cute this year, and the beach clothes are so gay and colorful. And
so that's it.
They got little pleats in them all around.
Liz, I'll make a bargain with you. If you learn to swim, and I mean really swim, before vacation time, we'll go to the beach.
Oh, George, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you.
But if you don't, we'll go back to the Weeping Willow Ranch.
Don't worry. I'll learn. I'll learn.
And don't buy any beach clothes until this is all settled.
George, even after I learn to swim and you agree to go to the beach, I'm not going to buy a thing.
What?
I mean it. Because I love you so much, I'll struggle along on just what I've got in my closet now.
Mrs. Cooper, what are you doing in your bathing suit?
I'm going to take my swimming lesson.
You found a teacher?
Yes, Ralph Wood, the oldest boy from next door. He's the high school champion. Oh, there he is. I'll get it.
Good morning, Mrs. Coops. Did I get you out of the shower?
No, it's all right, Mr. Wood. This is my bathing suit. You don't have to stand with your back to me.
That's a bathing suit?
Yes.
Hmm. Well, are you all ready for your lesson?
Yes, where's your son?
Oh, he couldn't make it, but I've arranged for you to take a lesson from the person who taught him everything he knows.
Who's that?
Me.
Oh. Well, where should we go? Out to the club?
Oh, there's no need to go way out there. I can teach you right in your living room.
Really? Well, come on, let's go around through the kitchen and come in at the shallow end.
You can learn very easily if you'll just remember that swimming is merely a matter of applied physics.
Oh.
You see, when a body is immersed in water, it displaces its own weight, and by means of propulsion of a given direction, the water that is displaced in front is found to be at the back. This is known as swimming.
Well, isn't there a simpler way of doing it?
Well, you can jump into the water and move your arms and legs.
Well, that's more like it. Are you sure you can teach me to swim here?
Certainly, it's applied physics. When a body is immersed in water...
I know. But will it work if a body is immersed in a hardwood floor?
Why not?
That's a fair question.
You learn to swim in the living room. When you get into the water, you simply apply what you've learned. It'll be the same thing, only wetter.
Wetter, yeah.
Now, lie down on the floor.
Okay. Now, what do I do?
Now, first, bring the right arm over the head and forward and down.
Okay.
Fine. Now, do the same thing with the left arm.
Okay. Ouch.
What's the matter?
This ocean has splinters in it.
Well, that's too bad. All right. Now, while you're moving your arms, you are kicking at the same time.
All right. Yeah. Ouch!
More splinters?
No, hard water.
Well, lift your feet a little. Now, try again.
How does this look?
Oh, wait a minute.
What's the matter?
I forgot to tell you to breathe.
That's okay. I went ahead and breathed anyway.
No, I don't mean that. In swimming, you breathe a different way than you ordinarily do.
How? Through your ears?
No. You're supposed to breathe when your head is out of the water.
You know, I'll bet I would have found that out anyway.
Well, now, let's try it again and put everything together.
All right, here I go.
Oh, fine. You're doing just fine.
Yeah. Hey, look at me. I swam clear across the living room.
Yes.
If the current hadn't been against me, I'd have made it into the dining room.
Congratulations, Mrs. Cooper. You're a wonderful pupil.
You mean I know how to swim?
Certainly you know how to swim.
Gosh, that wasn't hard at all. What have I been afraid of all these years? Come on back tomorrow, Mr. Wood, and I'll dive off the mantelpiece.
All right, the first portion of My Favorite Husband, starring Lucille Ball. We'll have more after these words.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thanks, Roger and Jen. We are listening to one of the funniest classic radio shows of the golden age. You know, there were a lot of comedies, Jack Benny, Burns and Allen. We had Amos and Andy, Abbott and Costello. But I got to tell you, My Favorite Husband and what it actually morphed into right. with I Love Lucy. So you're really hearing the real beginnings of I Love Lucy, because she was on the radio on CBS Radio with this show. Richard Denning played her husband on this show, and CBS wanted her to do this on television. And she said, you know what? I'll do it, but it has to be with my husband, Desi Arnaz. And they didn't like that idea, and then she retooled it and did it herself with
Desi.
She
knows what she's doing.
Yeah,
and you know what?
Strong woman.
She was a genius even back then during her early years on radio.
Absolutely. All right, let's get back to the conclusion of My Favorite Husband.
Hi, honey, I'm home.
Hi, George, baby, give me a kiss.
What's new? What did you do today?
Oh, nothing exciting. I had a manicure, learned how to swim, marketed a little.
Just a minute. Learned how to swim?
Yes, isn't it wonderful, George? Now we can go to the beach this summer.
Do you expect me to believe you learned how to swim since this morning?
Yes. Mr. Wood said I have a natural talent for it. He gave me a lesson, and I just swam all over the place.
How far did you swim?
Oh, about as far as from here to the dining room.
By yourself?
All by myself.
Hey, that's great, Liz. You weren't even afraid, huh?
Afraid? I was as calm as though I'd been swimming right here in my own living room.
No kidding.
That's right.
I'm proud of you. Was the water cold out at the club?
I didn't notice it.
I'll get it.
Okay, I'll go see if dinner's ready.
Hello.
Hello, Mr. Cooper. This is Benjamin Wood.
Well, hello, Mr. Wood. I understand you gave Liz a swimming lesson today.
That's right.
How'd she do?
Oh, wonderfully. I called to see if she got all the splinters out.
Splinters?
Yeah, she picked up a big one.
Where?
Right between the piano and the divan.
Say, what are you talking... Say, where did she take this lesson anyway?
In your living room. It was sort of a dry run.
Uh-huh. Well, she's fine, Mr. Wood.
Well, that's good. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Liz!
Dinner's almost ready, George, and boy, am I hungry.
Splashing around in the pool must have given you an appetite.
Swimming is what did it.
That water is exhilarating, isn't it?
Swimming certainly is. You should have seen me, George. I was like a little seal.
Sounds more like a little lion.
A little sea lion?
No. No, just plain lion. That was Mr. Wood on the phone, Liz.
Oh.
How many splinters did you average per mile?
No, I didn't get very many splinters.
I'm certainly surprised at the way you deceived me, Liz.
I didn't. I never said I was in the water. I asked Mr. Wood if I knew how to swim, and he said yes, and I can. There's nothing to it.
All right, that's good enough for me.
It is?
Sure. I'll meet you out at the club tomorrow afternoon, and if you can swim the length of the pool, we'll go to the beach for our vacation.
Oh, give me more time, George. I've only had one lesson.
Oh, no, no. You said you knew how to swim. Well, tomorrow we'll find out. I'll meet you at the club pool at 3:30.
All right, I'll be there. And I'll jump in that pool and swim if it's the last thing I do. Oh, why do I say things like that?
As we return to the Coopers, it's 3 o'clock in the morning and all is still. All that is, except Liz. From the way she's thrashing about the bed, it looks like she's having a nightmare about swimming.
Stroke. Stroke. Stroke.
Well, what's the matter? Who did that? Oh, ouch! Hey, Liz!
Stroke.
Oh, Liz!
Huh? Oh, George, save me. I'm going under.
Oh, take it easy or you're
joking. Save me! Save me!
Oh, Liz, you got me around the neck.
Help! Help! We're going down. Fight your way to the surface. Huh? Huh? Oh, George, that was an awful dream. I dreamt I was in swimming, and how'd we get down here?
We disappeared under the covers for the third time and sank slowly to the floor.
Really?
Let's swim to the surface and go back to sleep, huh?
Oh, gosh, I'm afraid to. You go to sleep, George. I'll be right back.
Liz, where are you going?
Into the dressing room. I want to see if I have a nightgown with water wings in it. Iris. Iris, here I am, over by the pool.
Oh, I got here as soon as I could, girl. Is George here yet?
No. Oh, it's no use, Iris. I'll never make it. I don't even know what I'm doing here.
Chin up, girl. I brought something with me.
What?
Look.
A pair of water wings. Oh, I thought of that, but it's no good. George would see them. They're white, and my bathing suit is black.
Let's put them under your bathing suit.
Under my bathing suit?
Yeah, then he'd never guess.
Won't I look kind of lumpy?
Well, let's see where we could put them. Oh, I know. You're a little sway back.
What?
Now, look, I don't have time for false modesty.
Sway back, yeah.
We'll just put the water wings under your suit in the middle of your back, like this. There. And then we'll blow them up and you'll get in the water before George gets here. He won't be able to see them.
Well, it might work.
I can't even see them.
Well, they're not blown up yet.
Oh.
Yeah. How are we going to blow them up? It can only be done by a midget or a Ubangi. Well, there's one idea gone.
No, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Come with me.
Where?
The gas station in the parking lot. They have an air hose.
Well, now, that might work. Come on.
As long as you stay in the water, George can't tell a thing.
This is the first time I've gone to a gas station to get my air checked.
Good afternoon, ladies. Can I help you?
Can we use your air hose?
Certainly. Have a flat?
Sort of.
Where's the car?
Car?
Yeah, with a flat tire. What were you planning to do? Take the air over a mouthful at a time?
No, just let us use the air hose and thanks.
Oh, yeah, go take care of that car.
I'll be right back.
Quick, Iris.
Turn around. Let me get this hose down the back of your bathing suit.
Oh, it's cold.
Hey, what are you doing?
Go away!
What are you doing?
Look, just leave us alone. We're not hurting anybody.
Hey, look at her back. It's all swollen.
This is fine, Iris. Put the hose away and...
I'll get a doctor.
Oh, never mind. It's too late now. Come on, Liz.
The boys will never believe this.
Well, it was a good try, Iris.
Hey, wait a minute.
Oh, look now, no more bright ideas, please.
We've been fools, Liz. We can get George on a technicality.
How?
He said you had to swim the length of the pool.
Yeah?
He didn't say anything about not wearing something to help you. We could have put the water wings on the outside.
Now she thinks of it.
I know. Rudolph has a life jacket he bought at the surplus store. I'll go and get it.
Okay, go on.
And you stall George till I get back, and I'll go as fast as I can.
Well, hurry, Iris. You're all that stands between me and Weeping Willow Ranch.
Thank you.
Hi, Liz. All ready for the big swimming test?
Oh, hello, George.
Sorry I'm late, but Atterbury kept me talking about a big account.
Oh, that's all right. You haven't seen Iris, have you?
No. Well, let's get this over with. Come on, dive in.
No, now, don't push me. I'll get in a minute.
Well, why in a minute?
Well, I'm just hungry, that's why. I'd like something to eat first. I don't like to swim on an empty stomach.
But if you eat something, you can't swim for an hour.
Yeah.
Liz, are you stalling?
Stalling? Heavens, no.
Well, then what are you waiting for? Now get in the pool and start swimming.
No, George, don't. I'm not ready.
Woohoo, Liz girl.
I'm ready.
There you are, Liz.
Oh, thanks, Iris.
Hey, what's going on? You can't wear a life jacket.
Can't I?
Put your arms in here, Liz.
There. Fasten it, will you, Iris?
Liz, I'm warning you, this isn't going to count.
You said swim the length of the pool. You did not say how.
Now, look.
Here I go. Whee!
Oh, look at her go.
What a low-down trick.
Well, George, she did fill her part of the bargain.
Well, I guess she did. Well, if she cares that much about going to the beach, I guess we can go. I'll teach her to swim while we're there.
Hey, look at me! Look at me! I'm swimming!
Okay, Liz, you win.
Hey, watch this! I'm a whale!
Would you look at that? She's floating on her back and blowing water in the air.
Hey, there's nothing to this. Do we get to go to the beach, George?
Okay, we'll go.
Oh, boy, this jacket's wonderful.
I know, I've seen them. All you do is pull that little string on the side and they inflate.
What little string?
What little string?
Liz, we didn't pull a string. You've really been swimming.
How do you like that, George? I've really been swimming right here in the deep water. Deep water! Ah! Ah! Ah!
Yes, Lucille, where do we go tonight?
Tonight, Robert, we're meeting a sweet girl graduate, the valedictorian of her class. A little commencement music, please, maestro.
Hello, I understand you just graduated.
Yep, that's right.
Well, tell me, did you graduate cum laude?
How's that again?
I said, did you take any honors?
No. Are there some missing?
Oh, forget it.
Forget it? Okay, I will if you will. Put her there, boy.
Oh, wait a minute. What degree did you get when you graduated? A.B., Ph.D.?
No, no. I got an R.A.
R.A.?
Yep. I said R, I said R-A, I said R-A-G-G, M-O-P-P, Ragma, Ragma, Ragma,
Ragma. Now wait a minute. Wait just a minute. Now, what degrees did you actually get?
Oh, them. Let's see now. I got a J-E. And L-L-O.
What do they stand for?
What do they stand for? Oh!
Well, actually, I'm an expert on Jell-O. Let me give you a test.
All right.
Now, what are the six delicious flavors?
Oh. You're going to start with the hard one.
Strawberry... Raspberry.
Oh, yeah. Cherry berry, orange berry, lemon berry, lime berry.
No. Strawberry, raspberry, cherry, orange, lemon, and lime.
Right, right. Next question.
What makes you think of the real ripe fruit itself?
I don't know.
Jell-O does.
It does?
Yes, didn't they teach you that the flavor is locked in and can't get out till your first delicious spoonful?
This is the first time I heard of it. Are you sure?
Of course. Didn't they tell you to look for the big red letters on the box?
No. They didn't tell me.
Hey, where are you going?
I'm going back to school. Good night, Bob.
You have been listening to My Favorite Husband, starring Lucille Ball with Richard Denning, and based on characters created by Isabel Scott Rorick. Tonight's transcribed program was produced and directed by Jess Oppenheimer, who wrote the script with Madeline Pugh and Bob Carroll Jr. Original music was composed by Marlon Skiles and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. The part of Katie the Maid was played by Ruth Parrott. Watch for Lucille Ball in Fancy Pants with Bob Hope. Be sure to listen to Lucille Ball in My Favorite Husband again next week, presented by
J-E-L-L. Oh, the big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. Oh, the big red letters stand for the Jell-O family. That's Jell-O.
Yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O puddings, yum, yum, yum.
Jell-O tapioca puddings, yes, sirree.
Bob Lamond speaking.
This is CBS, where you meet Lucille Ball and My Favorite Husband every Sunday night, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
What a fun show. That's My Favorite Husband, June 11th, 1950. Lucille Ball, starring along with Richard Denning, sponsored by J-E-L-L-O.
Jell-O.
Tapioca pudding. Yes, sirree.
It's really amazing how even advertising has evolved
yeah.
over the years.
I know.
Clearly, I've
they
studied
had a lot
that,
of the singing commercials back then, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, they're vintage and
it's
they're wonderful.
Great. Awesome. Hope you enjoyed that. Let's take a quick break. We have much more classic radio coming your way. Don't go away. All right. When we come back from the news in just a couple of moments, we will have Richard Diamond, Private Detective, starring Dick Powell. And I got to tell you, one of the best detective series. It was a very big budget detective show. There were some shows that were kind of, you know, they had the organ music and it was just like kind of, you know, not a big budget show. This was a really big budget detective show with a big name, with Dick Powell. They had Ed Begley, who, of course, Ed Begley Jr. today.
Right.
This is his son.
His father.
Well, Ed Begley. Yeah, Ed Begley
is the
dad. Yeah. In fact, Ed Begley Jr. did start in a lot of Twilight Zones for me. Great actor. Great guy. And this was, it had a big sponsors. It was on NBC. It was a very, very popular detective show. We'll have that for you in our next hour. Then in our third hour, we have Orson Welles starring in the Black Museum. And these are really interesting programs. We've played a few of them here. It was a Orson Welles would sort of walk through Scotland Yard's Black Museum, pick up an artifact, and everything in the Black Museum is associated with a celebrated murder case. And he would pick up a hammer, or pick up a lipstick case or whatever, and he would tell the story, and it would be dramatized. And it was broadcast out of the BBC, so they used real London, you know, British actors, so it was very authentic, and he was the host and narrator. I mean, Orson Welles, obediently yours, you know. Great show. So we have a really good lineup tonight, Lisa. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Good job.
You know, I try.
All that stuff.
Well, I like to pick what I like.
You like to pick. All right.
I like to pick.
Yeah.
Well, luckily this is
you're
radio.
You're a picker.
So nobody's watching me
That's
pick.
Right. Well, they can watch you on the TV if you're
True.
Picking.
True.
You know, but
it's very small on the screen. Mostly it's all about you. You got the big spot right there.
My big head.
Yeah. And oh, it's big.
Gigantic. What's up there, Roger? And how you doing?
I'm watching the big head and the brains of the operation all together there.
How are those business cards up there? Huh? Roger just got some new business cards.
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't have
go
one.
Ahead.
Yeah, I don't have one. I don't have Roger's phone.
Oh, I don't have your business card either.
That's all right. I am my own walking business card.
That is true.
How's Jen doing up there?
I'm doing well. I'm only one meal in. I got two or three more to go.
Oh, yeah?
How long are you here for?
Until 5 a.m.
We're getting hungry down here. So.
You got your apple.
No, I did not bring apples tonight. I brought Skinny Pop tonight.
Ooh, look at that. Yeah,
so it's you know, we try to mix things up. We're pretty wild and crazy here.
You bring Skinny Pop and I bring my kitchen. So
I ate before I left, so it's okay.
I think Jen's a bit of a chef. She brought all kinds of really
I'm so glad because it's
food.
So nice of her to share with us here. So thank you, Jen.
All right. Well, it's time for news. It's midnight. When we come back, as I say, Richard Diamond, private detective, then the Black Museum.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right. It's hour two. Thanks, Roger. Thanks, Jen. It is 12:09 in the morning here on WGN and on the WGN Radio Theater. This hour, we have Richard Diamond, private detective, Dick Powell as Richard Diamond. And then in our third hour, we'll have the Black Museum. I want to remind all of our listeners, we have a text in line, and we have had a lot of texts tonight, so we do appreciate that. 312-981-7200. Text us if you have any questions or have any comments about the show or want to hear a specific radio program. Someone texted in earlier and said that Richard Diamond, private detective, starred on five different detective series.
Yep.
That's a good trivia question. If it actually, I think I know most of them. I mean, he was Richard Diamond. He was Rogues Gallery. He was, I think he starred in a pilot episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. I got to think about the rest of those. Yeah, he was, let's see, he was, of course, Richard Diamond, private detective. You know, he was very instrumental in the in producing the television series of Richard Diamond that starred David Janssen, really launched David Janssen's career. And then, of course, David Janssen became a huge sensation as the star of The Fugitive. Of course, one of the best television shows of all time. They made a movie out of it. Yeah. Andy Davis directed that movie right here in Chicago. All right, so in this hour, it is Richard Diamond, private detective. We are not going to have Celebrity Scoop this hour, because the first portion of Richard Diamond, private detective, is very long. So let's just go to a quick commercial break, then we'll come back and play Richard Diamond. All right, time for Richard Diamond, private detective. This series was created and written by Blake Edwards, very famous writer, producer, director. He directed all the Pink Panther movies. Came to NBC Radio in 1949, lasted till 1953, and it starred actor crooner Dick Powell. He had recently played Philip Marlowe in RKO's film Murder My Sweet, and radio producers said, you know what? He can play a detective, so let's cast him. Diamond, Richard Diamond, was a New York-based cop, and he enjoyed ribbing cops and singing songs to his millionaire's girlfriend, Helen Asher, played by Virginia Gregg. The theme song, I think this is so fascinating, the theme song at the beginning is whistled by Dick Powell. He was a great whistler, as you'll hear on this. And as I said, Powell's production company, Four Star Television, produced a TV version of Richard Diamond, private detective, for television, 1957 through 1960, starring David Janssen. We have a radio broadcast for you now from my birthday, August 20th, although I wasn't born in 1949. I was born in 1963. this is a great show called The Central Park Murder. Here's part one of Richard Diamond, private detective.
Powell as Richard Diamond, private detective.
Hello there, this is Diamond. You know, there are a lot of people in the big city like this, good ones and bad ones.
They walk down Broadway and rub elbows and you can't tell them apart. Why can't you? Because a lot of them were poured out of the same mold. Brought up in the middle of garbage cans and gang wars. Weaned on the smell of slums and conditioned to the taste of dirt and a kick in the ribs. By the time they get old enough to raise their fist, they're given two choices. Two ways to beat the gang wars and garbage cans. One guy picks himself up, shakes off the filth, and jumps over on the right side of the fence. The other guy picks himself up, too. But when he does, he raises that fist and shakes it at the whole world because he wants things the easy way. He continues to shake his fist until someone shoves a gun in it. Then he's a swaggering giant. Sometimes he climbs over with his little bag of rot and hides in the lap of society. But take away the gun and he ends up right back in the middle of the garbage cans with his face in the dirt. What about the guy on the right side of the fence? Well, you rarely ever hear of him, unless he becomes president or gets mixed up with the guy on the wrong side of the fence. Like the case I bumped into a couple of days ago. It all started in Central Park.
What happened? Some girl got run over. That young guy over there ran over with his car.
I came up right after it happened. He was leaning over her and crying. A little late for crying, I'd say.
Says he didn't kill her. Says someone pushed her in front of his car. Ain't that a good one?
All right, everybody back. Here comes the ambulance. Come on, you.
But I tell you, I didn't kill her. I was in love with her.
That's the last thing you should have said.
But I swear I didn't do it. I was going to meet her about a half a block up the street, and someone pushed her out in front of my car. I couldn't stop in time.
Look, I just got to write a report and take it down to the station. You can tell it to the inspector. Now look out. Here's the ambulance.
Hello, Crockett.
You're too late. The body's ready for the morgue.
Ah, Central Park's turning into a graveyard. I'm going to start taking my girl someplace else.
What do you mean? Somebody else got run over in the park?
Somebody got shot full of holes. Call came in just for this one. That gangster Chino Scarbo?
Scarbo got knocked off.
He was due, wasn't he?
Please, officer, can't I get to a phone?
Shut up. One of the biggest gangsters in town gets rubbed out, and I got to show up at the station with you. You know, Sonny, I'm not pleased with you at all.
Diamond Detective Agency, corpses designed with you in mind.
Rick.
Oh, hello, Helen, baby.
Where do you get all those awful slogans?
Ghost Rider. Ho-ho-ho. Get it?
Rick.
Wasn't a riot?
No, Rick. Was a bomb.
Oh. Okay, maybe this will get a yuck. Oh. Oh, here's a beaut. Are you lonely? Join the Lonely Souls Club and find your perfect soulmate. All ages. Guarantee satisfaction or money refunded. I wonder if Mighty Joe Young knows about this.
Rick, what are you talking about?
I'm reading the personals. Hey, get a load of this one. We'll give ride to coast, must be young companion, pretty, easy on the eyes. Think I ought to apply, baby?
You're ridiculous.
Wow. Here's an odd one. Anyone witnessing unusual accident at the 72nd Street Transverse, 11 p.m. Wednesday night, when young girl was killed, called Skyler 6036. Urgent.
That's in Central Park.
Yeah, somebody's got troubles.
Mr. Diamond?
Hold it a minute, baby. Yeah, I'm Diamond. What can I do for you?
I want to hire you.
Helen?
Yes, I know. Bye.
$100 a day in expenses, sir.
That's your fee?
Yep. I like to give it to the prospective client first. If he turns green and faints, we both save a lot of time and talk. How do you feel?
About the fee? Fine.
Well, what else is bothering you?
My son is being held on a manslaughter charge.
Well, if he killed somebody, that's a job for the police.
But he didn't do it intentionally. The girl was shoved in front of his car.
That's his story.
Yes, it is. And I believe him.
Hmm? Who was the girl, and why do you think anyone would want to kill her?
Her name was Jean Cooper. My son was in love with her. Why anyone would want to kill her, I really can't say.
Uh-huh. Your name and your son's name, where he's being held?
My name is Cook, Earl Cook. My son's name is Tom. He's at the 5th Precinct Police Station.
Oh, wouldn't you know it?
I beg your pardon?
Forget it. What's your business, Mr. Cook?
Politics.
Where can I reach you?
I live at 261 Riverside Drive. My phone is Skyler 6036.
Hey, wait a minute.
What's the matter?
I don't know. That phone number's familiar. Where did your son run over this girl, Mr. Cook?
The 72nd Street Transverse.
11 o'clock Wednesday night?
Why, yes. How did you know?
I read the papers. Is your ad in the personal column?
Yes, yes, it is. You see, the police claim there were no witnesses, but I had hopes that there might have been someone who had seen the accident.
Well, if anyone calls you, let me know. Now, I'll take $100, Mr. Cook. That's a retainer in case I run into trouble and have to get buried in a hurry. I hate to strain my relatives. He wrote me out a check, and I closed the office and headed for the 5th Precinct Police Station. An automobile death isn't exactly up my alley, but if someone had pushed the girl out in front of the car, then it was murder. And that was a territory I knew my way around in. Well, well, good morning, Sergeant Otis.
Huh? Where did you come from, Shamus?
Sugar and spice and everything nice.
Huh?
That's what little boys are made of.
You're crazy. That's what little girls are made of.
Why, Sergeant, you peaked.
You want to see the lieutenant?
I think that would be lovely.
Go on in.
Oh, Otis.
Huh?
I just had a horrible thought.
Yeah?
Wouldn't it be awful if there was a whole room full of you? Hello, Walt.
Diamond, you get out of here. Every time you wander into this office, I grow another ulcer.
Why, Walt, I'm surprised at you.
Well, you wouldn't be if you had to listen to Otis bellyaching all over the precinct 12 hours a day. Why don't you leave that poor guy alone?
Don't listen to him.
Don't listen to him? How can I help it? He screams so loud only dogs can get with it.
Have you got a boy booked here on the manslaughter charge, Tom Cook?
Yes, we have. I knew darn good and well you'd be springing something before you'd sit down and act like a normal human being. What do you want Cook for? He ran over a dame last night, and that's that. Maybe you want to give him a driving lesson?
You're turning blue again, Walt.
I'll light up like a pinball machine if you don't start giving me some peace and quiet.
Can I see Cook?
No, you can't.
Well, why not?
I know you. You'll end up by proving he wasn't even in the city last night. Before the day is gone, we'll be booking Otis for the killing.
Did he do it?
Who?
Otis.
Now, you stop that. Don't you dare start that routine again. I'm the biggest sucker in the world for that thing, and I admit it, but I am prepared. I know who's on first base today.
Who?
Williams. He's playing for... Otis!
Yeah, Lieutenant?
Yeah, Lieutenant. Yeah, Lieutenant. Is that all you can say? Take Diamond down to see that guy Cook. And if you let him back in this office, I'll break every bone in your fat head.
Yeah, Lieutenant.
Oh, where is that bicarbonate?
By Walt. I left Walt coming on like Vesuvius, and Otis took me down in the tombs to see Tom Cook. Cook was a man about 25 or 26, put together like a high jumper. He had sandy hair and a nice face. Also, he looked pretty worried.
I tell you, Mr. Diamond, I didn't intentionally run over Jean. She called and asked me to meet her in the park.
Why?
Well, we always met there.
Oh. You say she was pushed in front of the car?
Well, that's what it looked like. There were some bushes right near the sidewalk. She came flying out of them and fell in front of me before I could put on the brakes.
What did she want to see you about?
It was personal.
Now, look. You're up on a manslaughter charge. You can get a lot of time for that. Now, what did she want to see you about?
I can't tell you. I just can't tell you. It would ruin someone.
It's going to wreck you if you don't.
Then it'll have to.
Okay. Did she have any enemies at all? Boyfriends, girlfriends, ex-husbands, jealous ice men?
She had an ex-husband.
When did she separate from him?
About a year ago. Why? Do you think maybe Cooper was jealous?
Is his name Cooper?
Yes, John Cooper.
Oh, live in town?
Well, he was living at 498 West 81st Street, but that was a year ago.
Okay. Tell me where your girl was living.
383 Madison Avenue, apartment 206. She was living under her married name, Cooper.
Sure you don't want to tell me what she wanted to see you about?
I can't, Mr. Diamond.
Okay, but I hope the person you're protecting appreciates it. 5 years in Sing Sing is stretching loyalty a long way.
This person's worth it.
Otis, let me out of here. You locked me up with a Boy Scout. Mr. Cook?
Yes? Who is this?
This is Diamond.
Diamond, I'm so glad you phoned.
Oh?
Remember my ad in the personal columns?
Yes?
Well, I just received a call from someone who claims he saw a man push a girl in front of my son's car.
Oh.
He said he was in a hurry, so he didn't wait around to see the rest. Can you imagine that? In too much of a hurry to stay round.
No, I can't imagine, unless he was running away from something, didn't want to be caught. Did he tell you anything else?
No, I asked his name, but he hung up.
No. Well, if you hear from him again, call Lieutenant Levinson of the 5th Precinct. And I'll call you later.
All right, Mr. Diamond. But now I'm sure my son is innocent.
Well, I hope I can come up with more than your confidence. I knew a guy who yelled frame all the way to the electric chair. They fried him like a lean pork chop. left the phone booth and took off for John Cooper's apartment. I found the place and gave my rabbit's foot a pat on the hock. The little bunny was still with me because a John Cooper was listed on the mailboxes. I took the steps two at a time.
Yeah, who is it?
The name's Diamond.
I don't want any.
I'm selling a homicide, complete with samples. You better open up.
Hey, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about your ex-wife. She was killed last night.
What?
Mind if I come in?
No, come on in. Jean dead. How did it happen?
She was run over by a car.
Oh, that's awful. Are you from the police?
You got a gold star. Where were you at 11 o'clock Wednesday night?
Well, it's right here in my apartment.
You can prove it?
Well, I didn't leave. I don't guess I can prove it. I hope you don't think I ran over Jean.
I know who ran over. I'm trying to find out who aimed her.
I don't understand.
She was pushed in front of the car.
How do you know that?
Why shouldn't I know that?
Well, I don't know. I guess you should.
When was the last time you saw your ex-wife?
Oh, about 8 months ago. We didn't get along, so we didn't speak after we split up.
You haven't seen her since?
No.
Or are you jealous of her new boyfriend?
Jealous? Why should I be?
Good question. I'll see you later, Mr. Cooper.
Yeah. I hope I've been of some help.
You've been dandy. I left Cooper pinning up his gold star and headed for the dead girl's apartment. I knew the law had already been there and that it would probably be locked tighter than a wine truck on Skid Row. I found the landlady's door and gave it a jolt.
Yeah? Oh, what do you want?
I'm looking for the landlady.
You want an apartment? We got one coming up in a couple of days. The dame that was in it croaked. You can pay in advance if you want it.
Can I take a look at it?
Nah. Lousy coppers told me not to let anyone in. You got my word, it's a good one.
Oh, well then, you'd better let me talk to your mother.
My mother? My old lady's been dead for 20 years.
She has? Aren't you a little young to be running an apartment all by yourself?
Hey, sonny.
Yeah?
How old do you think I am?
Well, it's hard to tell. I'd say, about 28.
Come on, I'll show you the apartment. But watch those steps. I think you could use some glasses. Right up here, handsome.
Was the poor girl who died married?
Used to be, but she got divorced. Here it is. There you are, honey. Go on in, take a look around. I'll go on back downstairs in case the law comes back. I'll have to stall them, I guess.
Thanks, beautiful.
Oh, that's all right, honey. When you're done, stop in at my place and I'll give you a drink of gin.
I waited until I heard the old bat fly down the stairs, and then I took the place apart. It took me exactly 10 minutes, and even if I do say so, it was a pretty neat job. I was on the last lap, going through the wastebaskets, when I spotted something on the magazine stand. It was just below eye level. It was a late issue of a magazine, and it was addressed to Mr. John Cooper, 498 West 81st Street. I grabbed it and picked up the phone.
Homicide, Sergeant Otis.
Oh, this is Wooly. Wish you talking to Lieutenant Levinson?
Oh, how are you, Wooly? Get it for you, chop chop. Pretty good, huh?
Oh, very fine. Chop chop. Your head, maybe.
Huh?
Wooly say very fine. You speak very fine Chinese.
Oh. Lieutenant Levinson.
Oh, this is Diamond Walt.
It is. I told Otis I didn't want to talk to you. He said Wooly was on the pipe.
Oh, this is Wooly too, Walt.
That lame brain, Otis. Well, what is it now, Diamond?
I got a liar in the balcony, Walt.
What are you talking about?
I've spoken to three people about the girl who was run over. One of them lied to me. Now, I believe the kid's story. I think she was pushed.
So she was pushed. I can't be bothered with that right now. I'm all tangled up in the Scarbo killing. We found the gun that did the job lying in the bushes in Central Park.
Wait a minute. In Central Park?
Yeah, we traced it to a pawn shop, and the pawnbroker identified one Louis Spiegel as the one that bought the gun.
Walt, what time was Scarbo knocked off?
Shots were heard about 5 minutes to 11. Hey, that's just about the same time that Cook ran over the girl.
You are so right. And Scarbo got killed on the other side of the park. About 5 minutes to run to where the girl got run over.
Now, what are you getting at? If you know something about this Scarbo killing, I...
Well,
want you...
some guy called Tom Cook's father and said he saw the girl shoved in front of the car. He wouldn't tell his name because he said he'd get in trouble.
Probably a crank. No one would duck out on a deliberate murder.
Unless he just rubbed out New York's biggest gangster.
Hey.
Yeah. Have you got Louis Spiegel on tap?
No, he's hiding out.
Oh. Well, do me a favor. Check your files and see if you've got a record on a John Cooper.
The dead girl's ex-husband?
Yeah, then I'll call you back. I've got a guy who might show us where we can find Louis Spiegel and the guy who pushed the girl in front of the car.
Louis kill two birds with one stone.
It's quite a billiard shot, but give my little stool pigeon two bottles of fermented grape juice and he can run the table.
All right, let's take a break. From Richard Diamond, Private Detective. More after these words.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thanks, Jen. Thank you, Roger. Early mornings this winter. Stay safe and stay connected with Morgan Kolkmeyer's weather forecasts and Sarah Gindra's traffic reports. Weekdays 4 to 6 on WGN TV Morning News. Okay, we're listening to Richard Diamond, Private Detective. Before we get back to that, I do want to remind all of our listeners about our new app we have developed an app for all of our listeners. It is a classic radio shows app, and it's absolutely free to you. Just go to our website, WGN Radio Theater, and scroll down a little bit. You'll see a banner for our new app, and you can just click on the Apple Store or the Google Store within our banner. You don't even have to go to the store. You just click on it right at our banner. It will take you directly to the store. And you can download the app absolutely free, right, Lisa? You did this yesterday.
Well,
so
it's really easy.
Is it simple?
Most of us out in the world
in the
here
real world
know how to download an app, although Carl doesn't know his Apple ID, so it makes it impossible.
I refuse to learn my Apple ID.
So
I'm going to go the rest of my life.
Okay.
Not learning my Apple ID.
All right, well, it's then you don't have to download an app, but all the people around you can do it.
Right.
You don't need it because you have these shows.
Yeah,
so
I can listen to them.
No, it's a great app. It's very easy, very intuitive. It has 10 free shows right across the top. And within each category, there's many more shows that you could choose to download for a low price. I think they're 99 cents, maybe $1.99.
Yeah,
they're
a
very,
very low
inexpensive
price. Yeah.
And we can only play so many shows on here, but we try to choose a great variety. But this gives you more options
there's
as well.
There's a ton of shows on the app. And the app's free. So, I mean, that's a great price. Free.
It is a good price.
And you get 10 shows. So just go to our website, WGN Radio Theater.
And make sure to think of us while you're listening to the shows.
Yeah, never stop thinking about us. We want to be in your thought process 24/7, even when you're sleeping.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can get the 10 shows. There's 10 great shows. And then purchase more if you want. But get the app. It's absolutely free.
And continue to think about Carl.
You can. It sort of rhymes. The app is app. Absolutely free.
Oh, yeah. That's really
wow.
Good.
Wow. But I may have coined some kind of a phrase there.
That's kind of like the Steve-a Las Vegas, you know? Like,
yeah, Steve-a Las Vegas.
It's really close.
The
same
app
thing.
Is absolutely free.
Good one, Carl.
Boy,
I
tell you.
You're
on
the top of your game here.
I should be running ad agency.
You should be on the radio.
BBDNO. If they're looking for a new CEO over there, or J. Walter Thompson.
Oh, don't bring that up.
Or
don't start with me.
If you guys are looking for a new CEO, knock on my door.
Okay. Well, I don't, that didn't work out real
but
well
I
for
don't
me there, so.
Do apps.
Okay. Or any other technology. But other than that,
really,
you're good.
I'm afraid of technology. I have a fear of tech. You know, there's probably like an agoraphobia or some kind of a phobia about
that. You know
that.
What it is? It's called old age.
No, yeah. I'm young. I'm only 39, Benny's age.
I know.
But there is probably a phobia of technology.
Probably
I may have that.
Yeah.
Right?
You have a
Maybe
lot
I
of...
Self-
you know what? You have so many ailments, it's very difficult
I
to keep track.
I think I self-diagnosed myself. And this is something you're supposed to be doing on the Listen to Lisa series.
Well, I wasn't given the opportunity at the moment.
All right, what do you think's wrong with me? If you had to say all of the things that are wrong with me.
You have a fear of apps and technology.
What else is wrong with me?
Oh, gosh. Where do I begin? You really don't want me to say, do you?
Do you have a big pad of paper there?
Oh, yeah. It's all
and
up here.
4 or 5 pens because you're going to run out
you
of pen.
You wouldn't appreciate it if I said it out loud.
Oh, man. I got a lot of problems, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Well, let's talk about it while we're listening to the conclusion to Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
I left the apartment and slipped by the landlady's door. I knew she was building a party because I could smell the 100-proof clear out in the hall. I ducked out on the street and headed for Skid Row in a place called the Parrot Club. When I went in, I spotted my man sitting in his usual spot at the bar. His name was Wilbur Truitt.
Ah, greetings, Bucko. You have come just in the nick. Not having the necessary funds to purchase another bottle of strength, I asked yon bartender to put it on the cuff.
Wilbur,
whereupon he handed me this can of rat poison. Mm. It turned out to be rather soothing in a toxic sort of way. Bucko, you know me. I do not wish to deprive the little rodents of their daily constitution, so I would much rather nurse on the succulent end of a bottle.
Wilbur, I'm looking for someone.
I have been looking for someone all my life, preferably a brewery owner.
Bartender, bring me a bottle.
Oh. Noble sir, your over-kindness doth wring tears from me. I do embrace your offer.
Now, you don't wrap your hooks around this jug until I find out where Louis Spiegel is.
That is indeed a difficult problem. Mr. Spiegel carried a rather large gun under his arm. Then if I sit here and gaze at that bottle for any great period, I shall become cotton-mouthed and surely choke to death. Mr. Louis Spiegel might be found in the freight yards, hiding in an old shack at the end of 50th Street. Now, Bucko, I'm rusting.
Here you are, Wilbur, and thanks.
Farewell. Lord knows when we shall meet again. I have faint, cold fear thrills through my veins. Yeah, but no matter. I have never let a cork confuse me before. Bartender, a corkscrew, and bring the cat. I owe him a drink.
Homicide, Lieutenant Levinson.
Diamond, Walt, what did you find out?
John Cooper has no record.
Uh-oh.
But George Kingsley has.
Oh, alias?
Yeah. George Kingsley, alias John Cooper, did 10 years for embezzlement.
Oh, fine. Thanks, Walt. Now, here's the pitch. Lou Spiegel is in a shack in the freight yards at the end of 49th Street, North River. Get some men to surround the place and have Otis pick up John Cooper and bring him down there. I'll be there in half an hour and give you a couple of killers. All I needed was a motive, so I hung up the phone and headed for the house of my client, Earl Cook.
Oh, come in, Mr. Diamond. I'm very glad you've come.
Mr. Cook, did you...
I want to show you something. Here.
What are they?
Letters to my son. Blackmail letters.
Oh? Where'd you find them?
I was going through my son's things, trying to find something that might help uncover the motive for his accident.
Mind if I take a look?
Well, I can save you the trouble. They're about me.
About you?
Yes. I told you I'm in politics. Well, I am, and I'm a big power. When I began my rise, I was a young criminal lawyer. I had to accept a lot of cases that I might have turned down under different circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
And the opposition tried everything to discredit me. Smear campaigns, saying that I was getting acquittals for common thugs who were known to be guilty. Later, when I became a judge, they switched the campaign and said that the men I sentenced were innocent.
Were they?
Of course not. But in those letters to my son, the blackmailer said that he had definite proof that could ruin me. My son knew about my past, and when he started receiving the letters, he was afraid to confront me with the evidence, for fear I might have to admit my dishonesty.
Have you talked with your son?
I just left him. That's why he didn't tell you anything. He thought he was protecting me. His girl, Jean, found out who was sending him the letters and, well, she was killed before she could tell him.
Well, that fits. If the girl found out, then the blackmailer would not only have to know your son pretty well, but he'd also have to know her.
You think you know who he is?
See this magazine?
Mm-hmm.
Well, some of the pages are cut up. Now, take a look at these blackmail notes. They're formed with cut-out letters to spell out the words.
Mm-hmm.
The type is the same as the type on the magazine.
Where did you get that magazine?
In the girl's apartment.
Well, then she must have had something to do with it.
She found the magazine, all right, but it wasn't hers. Look, Mr. Cook.
Yes?
Did you ever send a man to prison named Kingsley?
Yes, I believe so. For embezzling.
Thanks.
Where are you going?
I'll call you later. I've got a date at the freight yard.
Oh, hello, Rick. We've got Spiegel boxed up. He's in that shack down there.
Will he come out?
If he does, it'll be feet first.
I guess he'd rather have it that way. Any shooting?
He tried a couple, but I had the boys hold their fire until you got here.
I see. Where's John Cooper?
Otis hasn't showed up with him yet.
Let me use your loudspeaker, Walt.
Oh, sure, go ahead, but keep your head down.
Spiegel! Spiegel, Lou!
Why, that lowlife, I'll blast him to kingdom come.
Hold it, Walt. Spiegel knows me.
Louis! Louis, this is Diamond. I want to talk with you.
If
better get out of here, Timon. Ain't none of your business.
Lou, you've got my word. There'll be no shooting. I want to talk to you.
Look, Timon. I know they want me for the Scarbo killing, and I say, okay, I've done the job. But I'm allergic to electricity, and I don't like cops. If you blow this place apart, I say okay, too. And that's the way I want it. Now, do you still want to talk?
I want 5 minutes.
Okay, come on, Tom, but keep your hands behind your neck.
Walt, no shooting, huh?
Okay, but I think you're crazy. He kills guys for practice.
I moved out my hands behind my head. I started down toward the shack, and I could see Spiegel looking at me over the barrel of a .45. One bad move from any of the men stationed around the yards, and I was going to get dead quick. I walked up to the shack and went in.
That's far enough, Diamond. You've got 5 minutes.
It won't take that long, Lou.
Keep your hands where they are.
Oh, I thought you might want a cigarette.
Oh. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I'm all out.
Yeah. Keep the pack.
Just one. I got a date.
Yeah. Light?
I can make it. 4 minutes, Diamond.
Did you see a girl shoved in front of a car the night you knocked off Scarbo?
Yeah. I called some guy and I told him about it. I read his ad in the personals, but I couldn't do anything about it.
Yeah, because then the law would know you were in the park.
Looks like it don't make much difference now.
The kid who ran over the girl is in on a manslaughter rap. You'll get 5 or 10.
That's tough. You got 3.5 minutes.
Lou, did you get a good look at the man who gave the girl the shove?
Sure, I'd remember him.
Rick!
What do they want?
I'll see.
With your hands up, you'll see.
Sure.
What is it, Walt?
Otis has got Cooper.
Lou, will you do me a favor?
I don't know.
I want you to tell me if the guy they've got up there is the one who pushed the girl.
Sure. But I can't see him from here.
I'll have him brought down.
I hope you ain't up to something. I don't want to see no kid get sent up on a bum rap. But if you get funny, you get holes.
Walt, how about us bring Cooper halfway down to the shack?
He doesn't want to go.
Then drag him. I've only got 2 minutes.
They bringing him?
Yeah, here he comes.
Okay, out that door.
What are you doing?
I'm doing you a favor. I'm tired of the shack, and I'm walking out with you in front of me.
Okay.
Don't get too far ahead.
Rick, what's Spiegel up to?
I don't know. Hold your fire.
I'm surprised at you. Even if I identified this guy, it wouldn't hold water. I got a bad reputation.
Hey, what's going on?
Take it easy, Otis.
You can't do this to me. What's this all about?
That's the guy, Diamond.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Sure you do. I saw you push that dame in front of the car.
You're crazy.
Now, I don't like that. You got just 10 seconds to admit it.
I won't admit anything.
Then I shoot you.
Hey, you can't.
Shut up, Flatfoot.
Stay out of this, Otis.
I tell you, I won't admit anything.
5 seconds.
Come on, Cooper. I found out all about your prison record. I know Cook sent you up and you wanted to get even. You found those letters Tom wrote to your ex-wife, so you started blackmailing him. And I know you lied when you said you hadn't seen your ex-wife. I found a magazine in her apartment with your address on it.
Time's up.
No. All right, I did it.
You're too late. I'm on schedule.
Oh, you idiot. Why did you shoot him?
What's the difference? I kill people, he kills people. Besides, he wasn't polite. So long, Diamond. You got your favor.
He's making it right.
You'll never make it.
Spiegel. Spiegel, in the name of the law, stop.
Well, what?
Yeah, they got him.
They sure did.
You know something? He wasn't such a bad guy.
Wasn't he? I guess he's killed a dozen people in his time, but maybe you're right. Maybe he kissed them all goodbye before he pulled the trigger.
Well, I got a right to an opinion.
Yeah, and it scares me a little. You're lucky you didn't try to pull a gun on him. You'd look pretty silly telling everybody what a nice guy he was after he'd shot off the top of your head.
Rick, how do you want it?
Lots of lemon, honey.
What's that you're playing?
I don't know. It says on the sheet music for kazoo and voice.
You idiot. Here, see how this tastes.
Oh, that's swell. But can't you drop a muscle in it or something?
No, that's plenty strong.
Oh.
The last time you complained about my weak drinks, Francis had to carry you home piggyback.
Yeah, remind me to buy him a saddle.
I hear they let the cook boy out of jail this evening.
Well, how the dickens did you know that?
Never mind, I find out things.
You have been snooping.
Well, you won't tell me anything about your cases.
How did you find out? Helen?
No.
You'll be sorry.
Here. You sing this, and I'll tell you how I found out.
Well, I don't know whether I care or not.
Your lips tell me no, no, but there's yes, yes in your eyes. I've been missing your kissing. Just because I wasn't wise, I'll stop my scheming and dreaming, 'cause I realize your
lips. Oh, that's wonderful.
Okay, now, make like a truth serum or I sing 20 courses of McNamara's band.
Well, I was looking for you, so I called Walt Levinson. He told me all about it. Very elementary, my dear Diamond.
Oh, get her.
Do I look smug?
Close your eyes and let's see.
Now, that's silly. Why do I have to close my eyes?
Close your eyes. Oh, that's better.
Mm. Rick, aren't you nice?
I certainly am. But people always notice my dimples first.
Come here.
Helen. You're looking smug again.
You have just heard Richard Diamond, Private Detective, starring Dick Powell. Helen was played by Virginia Gregg, Lieutenant Levinson by Ed Begley. Also in our cast were Wilms Herbert, Eleanor Audley, William Johnstone, Sam Edwards, David Ellis, and Frank Lovejoy. Music was under the direction of Frank Worth. Richard Diamond is written by Blake Edwards and directed by Richard Sandville. Dick Powell soon will be seen in the screen version of the best-selling novel, Mrs. Mike. Now, this is Eddie King inviting you to be with us again at the same time next week, when we will again bring you Dick Powell as Richard Diamond, Private Detective. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
That is Richard Diamond, Private Detective, from August 20th, 1949, with the Central Park Murder, starring Dick Powell, as heard on NBC. Let's take a break, then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, we are here every Saturday and Sunday night from 11 p.m. until 2 a.m. We're on late, but you know what? You stay up late, you get some fun classic radio shows. Right, Lisa?
And you get a little Carl and Lisa to boot.
Yeah, a little Bickersons. John and Blanche Bickersons.
That's true. That is correct.
Yeah, and but all your favorite radio shows. We had some great ones already with My Favorite Husband and Richard Diamond, Private Detective. In our next hour, it's Orson Welles in the Black Museum.
We also have something special coming up next Sunday night. A lot of people were asking for Johnny Dollar. So what we are doing is a Johnny Dollar five-part series all on Sunday night.
Yeah.
Wow. A week from tonight. So we hope that you will tune in for that. That is special.
The really interesting thing with Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar, primarily it was a half hour per week series, but for a time, for like about 2 years in the mid-1950s, it went to a 5 day a week, 15 minute episode. So it was like a 75 minute story done 15 minutes a day over 5 days. They were very popular, and we have a five-part story next Sunday that we will play for you in its entirety. On Saturday, we have... what do we have on Saturday?
We have Fibber McGee and Molly, Adventures of Philip Marlowe and Fort Laramie.
Wow, you know everything, Lisa.
I know, but Sunday is something new. We've never done that before.
Yeah, one time we did.
Yeah, we did. It's been a while.
Yeah,
we hope that you'll like it. You'll tune in. You'll let us know what you think. And, and we care.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, people have been asking for yours truly, Johnny Dollar. All right, stick around. We have another hour of classic radio, and that includes the Black Museum with Orson Welles.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thank you, Roger. Thank you, Jen. This is hour three of the WGN Radio Theater. Thanks for staying up late with us. I'm going to make sure that you're happy you did, because we have Orson Welles in the Black Museum. Good mystery from 1952 called The Gas Receipt. And that's coming your way in just a minute. It's brought to you by Cat's Pride.
For Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actor stars in the upcoming film Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald, the second installment of Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Mm-hmm.
And the winner will get a Twilight Zone 4 CD set.
Okay. The number to call, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. And here's a hint. This actor played Ed Wood.
Well, Mr. Weiss, look no further. I'm your man. I work fast and I'm a deal. I write and direct, and I'm good.
Yeah, he's good.
And he's my buddy.
I got to tell you, this is, if you folks, if you've not seen this movie, Ed Wood is the name of the movie. If you've not seen this movie, you are missing something. This is a spectacular movie. It's in black and white. Just want to remind you. But you have to see this movie. All right, who is that actor? 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner. We'll be right back.
This is hour three of the WGN Radio Theater. We are playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play that one more time.
Well, Mr. Weiss, look no further. I'm your man. I work fast and I'm a deal. I write and direct, and I'm good.
And we got Bob on the phone. Hey, Bob.
Hello.
How are you?
Really good. I know who it is. So,
okay, let's hear
I'm
it.
Really happy.
Who is it?
It's Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp is our man. You are a winner, and you have won the Twilight Zone 4 CD set. It is hosted by Stacey Keach.
Awesome.
It's full of great stars, including Lisa Wolf, amongst others. So that we hope that you enjoy it and stay up late watching, listening to the Twilight Zone if we're not on, of course.
Right.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And yeah, it was a great movie. It was pretty good.
Oh, such a great film. Right, Bob?
Yeah, another Tim Burton, Johnny Depp.
Yes, exactly.
So many great movies.
They have.
Together.
They have. This is their best, though, I think. Ed Wood.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks, buddy. Appreciate you.
I'm a big Johnny Depp fan,
again.
Too.
Thank you.
Enjoy the Twilight Zone CDs. So Bob's a big winner, and Lisa actually sat in a car next
to
Johnny Depp.
I got to meet Johnny Depp. What can I tell you?
It was just you and him in a car together, huh?
No, it wasn't. There were
other people?
Yeah, because he swarmed with, the makeup people and everybody making him look good.
I thought it was just you and him.
Well, and he had a little entourage.
Oh.
I'm sure my makeup was hair were fine, but he needed, continual maintenance. Me, I was good.
You're good. The movie was Dillinger film.
Yep, it was Public Enemies.
Public Enemies,
filmed right here in Chicago.
I have a little
scene with him.
Yeah, you
in that.
Do see Lisa in the film.
Had a little scene.
You had
with
like
him.
A. You had like a.
I had a word.
What was that dress you were wearing? Like a flapper dress. Right?
No, you know what? I was actually clothed, but I had a coat on top. So
I didn't
you
say
really
you were naked. I said
no,
you were clothed.
No, what I'm saying is what you don't see what I'm wearing
I said
underneath
you had a
the
flapper
coat.
Dress.
Well, I don't even remember what the dress was because I had a coat on top and a hat.
Yeah.
The dress was just a regular
You had a
dress.
Big, like, hat, right?
I did.
Back then, in the 1920s, women wore those big hats and flapper dresses.
I had gloves, and I had a word. I had one word.
And you said he was real nice, right?
Yeah, he was nice. Yeah. We had fun.
Did
I had fun.
His...
I don't know if he did or not.
Sparrow.
No, he was pretty focused on what we were doing.
No, Jack Sparrow.
Here's the thing. I had to really get into character for my word.
Yeah.
So I really had to, stay focused. So it was really hard to be distracted by him. I just had to, keep my focus.
How many people could say they were in a movie with Johnny Depp? Not a lot of people.
Yeah, I brushed up with greatness. He's probably saying the same thing, that he got to hang with
sure
me.
Is.
So it's kind of mutual.
There you go. Well, it was a really good movie. Really good
movie.
Yeah, it was
a great
movie.
Shot
it here in Chicago.
I enjoyed it.
All right, well, how's the residuals from that coming in?
Oh, yeah.
Lots of money,
just
right?
Just reeling it in, yeah.
Tons and tons of cash.
Oh, yeah.
All right, it's time for the Black Museum. This was a mystery crime series produced by Harry Allen Towers for BBC beginning in 1951. It was based on real-life cases from Scotland Yard's Black Museum. Orson Welles, who was living in London at the time, was the host and narrator. And he would walk through the Black Museum. He'd pause at one of the exhibits, and then he'd describe the object, and that would lead to a tale of terror or some kind of brutal murder. It aired on the United States stations on Mutual and began being syndicated in 1952. There was a television series that Michael York was the host of, like in the maybe 90s, short-lived. But the radio series was very popular. So let's go back now to 1952. This is called The Gas Receipt. It stars Orson Welles, part one of The Black Museum.
This is Orson Welles, speaking from London. The Black Museum. A repository of death. Here in the grim stone structure on the Thames, which houses Scotland Yard, you'll find a warehouse of homicide where everyday objects, oh, a brass lamp, a nail file, a lady's hatpin, all are touched by murder. Here's a receipt. A receipt for payment for 10 gallons of gasoline. Familiar object, you've had it many times yourself if you drive a car, but this particular receipt.
Your receipt, Inspector. Tanks full, oil and water fine.
Thank you. Quite a receipt you hand out.
My partner's idea. He likes it.
Look at this, Sergeant. Stamped with a gallows, complete with corpse, and marked settled. Rather appropriate, eh?
Well, today, as I told you, this receipt lies in its proper place, an honored place, in the Black Museum.
From the annals of the Criminal Investigation Department of the London Police, we bring you the dramatic stories of the crimes recorded by the objects in Scotland Yard's Gallery of Death, the Black Museum.
Here we are, the Black Museum. Scotland Yard's museum, a museum of murder. Here lies death, arranged in glass cases, lined along the shelves on the tables, larger objects standing on the floor. Over there's an old-fashioned trunk. Nothing in this trunk but some old clothes. The clothes led to a furnace. The things in the furnace led a man to the gallows. Is a teacup and its saucer. Charming, graceful, real bone china. But the contents were deadly. Ah, here we are. Here's the receipt I told you about. Settled, it says. Paid in full. 10 gallons of gas. From the evidence, Police Constable Matthews had anything but murder on his mind that very early morning, an hour before dawn, as he patrolled the quiet country road near his home in Essex.
Summer must be almost over. Cold this time of morning. Not even false dawn yet. Nights are getting longer. Pleasant enough this tour during summer. Lonely a bit, I suppose. Gives a man time for thinking. What do I think about Ellen and the breakfast she'll have for me? Egg, bit of bacon, cup of tea, then some sleep. Ridiculous. Grown man sleeping in broad daylight when you come to think of it. Well, company coming. Seems to be traveling at quite a rate. Too fast, even this time of night.
From the car, pull over here! I know that car. Never saw him drive like that before. Well, I must say, sir, you're going rather fast.
What's the idea, Constable? I'm in a hurry.
Yes, so it seems. Let me see your license.
I know how to drive.
Where have you come from?
Longridge Garage.
It's a long way from here.
Called out on an emergency. I said I'm in a hurry to get back now.
And this car is yours?
Oh, it's mine.
Oh, another of you. In the back seat.
Can't you keep that flashlight out of my eyes?
What's the number of this car?
See for yourself. It's on the plates.
I know the number. Do you?
What is this, an investigation?
If you want it that way...
Oh!
What are you doing? He's dead, all right.
I'm making sure. No dead man keeps my face in his eyes. Now he's got no eyes.
Hurry! We gotta get out of here!
In the ditch where he'd fallen, bloody face turned skyward, Policeman Constable Matthews didn't see the dawn. Later that morning, another man trudged along that Essex road, meal sack on shoulder, busy with his own thoughts, until...
Good! It's Matthews.
Or what's left of him. Oh, what a rotten way to die.
Here, I'll have to get help.
Help was very soon in coming. First the local police, then the wires to London hummed with the word.
Can you leave the body where it is?
I expect so, Inspector. He won't worry about it, poor fellow.
Very well. I'll be down from the yard as soon as I can get a car.
Inspector Manson and Sergeant Wright left Scotland Yard, careening out of the gates on two wheels and roared out of London and into Essex. They set a record reaching the scene of the crime. The two policemen, quiet in their plain clothes, asked the local constable to move the crowd of curious well back from the body. Then the team from the yard went to work.
A rotten killing, Inspector.
That as I've seen. Four bullets where one would have been enough.
It looks like a cop-hater, Inspector.
Turn cop killer. Lift the head a moment.
Right, sir.
Here they are. Two slugs. 45. Went right through him.
Oh, we never had a chance. The angle of the cheek wound, sir. From below and to the side.
Back seat of the car, he stopped.
Tire marks, Inspector?
Hmm? Right here. In the shoulder of the road. And deep enough for casks. Still holding his pencil. It's what we're all afraid of on traffic duty. What's your number and the shots, that's all.
I still don't get the eyes, Inspector.
Old story. Legend. When a criminal shoots a policeman, the criminal's image is supposed to be imprinted on the poor fellow's retinas. Just superstition. Let's go, Sergeant.
Just superstition, but perhaps a mark, a clue, pointing to the habitual criminal. The police routine began. The tire marks were taken up in plaster casts. The bullets were turned over to ballistics. The search, the almost blind search, began. In the course of their duty, Inspector Manson and Sergeant Wright dropped in on the superintendent of the local police.
Need the car, sir, for my rounds. I can't afford to wait until the insurance company is satisfied, nor can my patients. I know you're busy, what with the murder and all that, but surely you can spare some time.
What? Oh, Inspector Manson, come in.
Sorry to intrude, sir, but the sergeant and I are about ready to go back to London.
I see. Now, this is Dr. Lewis, our resident practitioner. Doctor, Inspector Manson, and Sergeant Wright, Scotland Yard.
How do you do?
How do you do, sir?
Scotland Yard? About the murder of that poor policeman?
That's right, Doctor.
And the doctor's car's missing. I've been explaining to him how he'd been tied up on the killing.
Which, of course, I understand. But I need my car, gentlemen. I almost missed a berth last night. Came out of my house, expecting to hop into my car. No car.
About what time was that, sir?
About 3 a.m. First time a thing like that's ever happened round here.
I see. Rather interesting coincidence.
Well, how so, Inspector?
One of the familiar patterns in our work is to have a policeman attacked when he stops a stolen car.
By the Lord Harry.
May I, Superintendent?
Of course.
Will you describe the car, Doctor?
Within minutes, Sergeant Wright was on the telephone.
All station alarm. Dark blue Morris sedan, number TW8529. Registered in the name of Dr. Robert...
Within 6 hours, it had been abandoned in the London suburb. Dr. Lewis was taken for the automobile ride of his life. Siren screaming, tires squealing. No time to waste.
This your car, Doctor?
It certainly is.
Give it a going over, Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
Let's have a look inside, Doctor. Splashes on the outside of the door. Could be blood.
Yes, it might very well be.
You own a pistol, Doctor?
Good heavens, no. Why?
Cartridge case on the floor. Here. See it? .45 caliber. Notice anything missing?
Yes, my instrument bag. I left it on the back seat, as I usually do. Some quite valuable surgical equipment and all that. Hard to come by these days.
I understand. Yes, Sergeant?
Earth and dried grass, sir. Curbside wheels, front and back. Mudguard damaged on that side as well. And the tyres, sir, I'd not want to state positively until we checked the casts, but they look the same as the marks on the road.
Ah, excellent, Sergeant.
Here's something may help. Inspector, Sergeant.
Yes, Doctor?
The speedometer. I keep a trip record every 24 hours. Just a habit. When I left the car last night, the speedometer read 40.9 miles. It's 84.3 now.
And the car has come 43.4 miles. That may be quite a help to us, Doctor. Perhaps more than you realize.
Boy, that music will get your blood rushing right there, huh?
Woke you up, didn't
Man,
it?
Man, I was like, I was...
You were going to sleep.
I was dozing.
And what did I say when you were going to go to sleep? I said to you, there's no way you can stop talking long enough to sleep. I don't know how you sleep at night.
I don't talk that much,
You
do
don't
I?
Stop.
Really?
Really.
I talk a lot.
All the time. Constantly.
Really?
Always.
Huh. Well, I guess I'm in the right profession then.
I think you are.
Right? Mm-hmm. Be better that I'm doing this than... being an airplane pilot or something and talking the whole time people are trying to fly beyond the... Hi, this is your captain speaking.
I think...
Carl Amari.
I think flights are on autopilot.
And if you're on this plane and I'm flying it, heaven help you.
That would go really well.
Right, I could say that.
Mm-hmm.
Or I could say, whenever I fly, my arms get tired. Wait, hang on. What do you think of that?
Roger's not Let's here to that. Roll his
no,
eyes.
Roger's
Maybe Jen
not.
Will be rolling her eyes.
Yeah,
I can't
sure
see her that
is.
Far.
Let's take a quick break. Then it's more hijinks and classic radio after these words.
This is your captain
oh,
speaking.
No. Here we go again.
We're listening to The Black Museum, a good broadcast with Orson Welles from 1952. It's called The Gas Receipt. Harry Allen Towers was a very prolific radio and television producer in his day. He lived in London, and Orson Welles was living in London at the time. I think he was kind of getting away from some tax issues that he had here in the States and took a little vacay across the pond to avoid that. And he was out there, and he needed to make a few shekels, and he ran into Harry Allen Towers, and Harry Allen Towers said, let's create some radio shows for you to host. One of which was the Black Museum. The other was the Lives of Harry Lime, which was based on his movie that he starred in, The Third Man. And that was a very good series as well. But the problem with The Third Man was he dies in the movie. So how do you create a radio show after the movie? Well, guess what? It was a prequel. That's how they did it. So it was all about Harry Lime prior to his death in the sewers of Vienna. It was a great movie. Did you ever see The Third Man?
No.
Oh, it was a great movie. Yeah, I mean, real noir film. Terrific, terrific film.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
It's so nice having you doing the traffic, Jen.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, we really appreciate you. And I know you're here till all the way till what, 5 in the morning?
I am. Is there an open coffee shop around here?
Yeah.
I have a half a bottle of water.
Yeah. You see what we drink? We drink smart water. Lisa doesn't need it, but I do. I need
That's
to be smarter.
True.
Lisa has two master's degrees, so she's smart enough. So you don't need to drink smart water, Lisa.
Okay, I'll just share the other half with you, but I'm going to give you the bottom half.
I should bathe in this. I should drink it 24/7. As far as a coffee shop, is there any coffee shop around here? I don't think so.
There's some pods upstairs on the 7th floor, and you can make some coffee.
All right.
Yeah. So there you have it. Well, you'll have some fun with Nick.
Yeah.
Yes.
Excited to see him again.
Yeah. Nick DiGilio, he will be coming up at 2 a.m. All right. Well, it's time for the conclusion of the Black Museum.
The first point which came to mind, as the inspector and the sergeant drove back to Scotland Yard.
43 miles. Took a lot of back roads. Whoever it was must be known. No fingerprints in the car either.
Then next, as the car turned into the yard.
He must know Essex rather well. An angle worth working on.
A little while later, with a pile of dossiers on his desk, the inspector said...
What do you think of this one, Sergeant?
Thomas Green? Also known as Greeny Thomas and Ted Grenville. Convicted 1920, possession of firearms.
Mm-hmm.
Convicted fraud and forgery. Convicted car thefts. So, known as Operator Garage in Eastwood, Essex. Alters stolen cars.
Knows Essex, doesn't he?
He's a possibility, sir. Habitual. Fits the rest of the characteristics.
Shall we have Mr. Green in, Sergeant?
Yes, sir. Operator, hue and cry message to all stations. Photo for posting will follow shortly. Wanted for questioning, Tom Green, also known as Green...
So far, so good. Maybe they were on the right track, maybe not. The alarm went out. Out to every station house and crossroads in England, every policeman from the south coast to the border of Scotland was alerted for Mr. Thomas Green, also known as Greeny Thomas, and so forth. Result? Nothing. No, not a sign. Not a trace.
Here's something, Sergeant. Police in Lancashire picked up a fellow answering Green's description. He confessed to a burglary to prove he wasn't in Essex the night Matthews was shot.
I imagine they know we don't like cop killers.
No, they don't like cop killers. But they still had no trace of the suspect. None at all. For 7 long weeks.
Truck. Says you're right.
Yeah? Wanna make something of it?
Hey, what's going on here? I'll have to report this, you know.
This man forced me into the wall.
Is that correct, sir? You're Green. There's an order out for you.
Keep back, driver, or you'll get it too.
Aye!
Dirty, rotten.
Get the number of that car. I can't see.
I got it, lad. GR5607.
Well, today, as I told you, this receipt lies in its proper place. An honored place. In the Black Museum. Another policeman shot, luckily not fatally. Another car number obtained. Immediate check, yes. A stolen car. A Vauxhall this time. Several times thereafter, in the course of 10 days, that number appeared on the Scotland Yard teletype.
Armed robbery. Cinema cashier. Lone thief seen leaving area in car number GR5607.
That's Green, all right. He's broken color with a vengeance. Here it is again, Sergeant. Same number. This time he held up a railway station.
He's made another stop, sir. This time a bank messenger. Same car, same number, GR5607.
Inspector Manson here.
Sergeant Wright, sir. Report from Sheffield. They've got the Vauxhall Green was using. He sold it to a used car dealer. Man suspected of being a fence.
Meet me at the gate, Sergeant. We are going to Sheffield.
Constable Matthews was long gone, I know. Several weeks, in fact. But the wheels of vengeance for his unnecessary death ground on in Sheffield. Inspector Manson, talked briefly and to the point.
Now get this straight. The man who sold you this car is wanted on suspicion of murder. Hold out on us and you'll be an accessory after the fact. We'll see to that.
How was I to know, Inspector? He had owner's papers. They looked all right. I paid him in good faith, I did.
Save it. You received stolen goods. Now then, what do you know about this man?
Nothing, sir, nothing.
Tell him, Sergeant.
You know plenty. We happen to have checked. You were associated with him in a garage business in Essex. Now talk.
I'm honest. I didn't know nothing. He told me he got the Vauxhall through a garage he's interested in Battersea. You can't pin anything.
Back to London. The chase seemed getting warmer. Outside the garage in Battersea, Inspector Manson and Sergeant Wright sat in their parked car and waited.
Car coming this way, sir. The light's in the rearview mirror.
I see it, Sergeant. Patience, Sergeant. He's only turning you.
I caught his face in the light, sir. It's green, all right. Chauffeur's outfit.
Let's go. Take care.
He's left the car on the ramp, sir.
Yes. Probably gone to change his clothes. Check the car, Sergeant. Side pocket of the door.
Right, sir. A Webley 45, Inspector.
A 45. Let's get him. Listen a moment. He's in there. Take care of the door, Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
What's the meaning of this? What do you want?
You green.
Let go, copper. If I had my gun...
Oh, thanks, sir. He almost had me.
Put the cuffs on him. We'll take the Webley and get him back to the yard. Hello? What's this on the workbench?
Medical case, sir. Initials on it, RL. For Robert Lewis, Inspector?
I wouldn't be surprised. Let's go, Sergeant, and you needn't be too gentle with him.
At long last, Tom Green, alias Greeny Thomas, was in custody. And a none too pleasant customer, this fellow.
Hey, when do I get something to eat, copper?
We'll get to that. You're in for questioning on a possible murder charge. I must warn you, anything you may say... Where were you on the night of October 26th last?
I was in London with my girl. What's more, she'll swear to it.
Where did you get the revolver we found in the pocket of the car?
I bought it from a sailor. Never got his name or number.
We found another Webley in the doctor's case, Green. Where did you get that?
I ain't talking.
The first one's been certified as the gun that killed Constable Matthews. That's the gun you said you bought from the sailor in September.
What? Oh, then I got it mixed up. Yeah, I must have bought the gun in the case from the sailor, and the one you say killed the copper I picked up in November. So what? You got plenty of cops, haven't you, Inspector?
How are we coming on the check of Green's friends, Sergeant?
They're all accounted for and all with alibis, except this fella Davis. Yes, it's funny about him.
Yeah? Why?
Well, he spent most of his life in stir. But the last time he got out, he upped and married. In Sheffield.
In Sheffield? And Green took that stolen Vauxhall to Sheffield. Let's bring Mr. Davies in, Sergeant. I'm rather interested in him.
Once again, the two police officers drove their car in the direction of Sheffield. Along the road, they stopped at a service station. 10 gallons of gasoline and a look at the oil and water. They pay the attendant and ask for a receipt. Vouchers will have to be signed in the usual police routine.
Your receipt, Inspector. Tanks full, oil and water fine.
Thank you. Quite a receipt you hand out.
My partner's idea. He likes it.
Look at this, Sergeant. Stamped with a gallows, complete with corpse. And marked settled. Rather appropriate, eh?
Might have been more appropriate if they'd had more success in Sheffield.
Too late, Inspector.
Our bird flown?
Yes, sir. Left town the day before yesterday. The day we picked up Green.
Oh, I see. Well, we'll find him. I'm beginning to feel more like a tracer of missing persons than an officer on a murder case.
The familiar police machinery went back into action. The underworld was watched. The hue and cry message went to all stations. Within a few days this time, word came through.
Davis has been seen with his wife in Liverpool, sir.
All right, Sergeant, we'll travel.
Mm-hmm. Liverpool, they found the hideout well watched. Davis wasn't there, his wife was at home. The place was a down-at-the-heels lodging house, disreputable, filthy. Inspector Nansen made a decision.
We'll wait for him outside, Sergeant. I found that most men will put up a much harder struggle when their women are present.
So they waited. Waited in the dark, shabby street. Far off, they could hear the foghorns of the ships in Liverpool's busy roadstead.
Eerie noise they make, isn't it?
I don't mind it. Seems, well, friendly.
It depends, sir. Hey, someone just passed the second street lamp down that way, sir.
Don't show yourself. Wait until he passes under the next one. We can be sure then. That's our man. When he's closer, Sergeant.
Right, sir.
All right, Davis, please come quietly.
Would you stay away from me?
I said come quietly, Davis.
Cooper, why? Look me and don't take me. Wrist, you broke my wrist.
Never point a gun at a police officer, oh. Davis. He'll come quietly now, Inspector.
They were quite a pair. Defiant, snarling Tom Green. Moaning, whining Davis. The inspector knew he had Green on the evidence, but the two bullets that had been fired from the back seat of the car were unexplained, except by the presence of a second man. Was Davis the man? How to prove it?
You haven't satisfied us, Davis. You've told us Green asked you to manage his garage.
That's right. I don't know nothing about October the 26th.
We think you do. Were you with Green that night?
Oh, I was with my wife.
And Green says he was with his girl. Did you shut up the garage?
No. Yes, I did. No business that night, anyway.
Yes, son?
A note for you, sir.
Thank you. I see. Thank you. All right, Davis, Green's talked.
There's nothing to talk about.
He says you pulled the trigger. He says he was already in gear, and Ridgeway was going to let you go when you fired from the back seat.
The cop had his foot on the running board. I never did a thing.
Nice timing, Sergeant. I think you'd better talk, Davis. You're for it in any case. Speak up, man.
All right. Yeah, sure I was with Green that night. We picked a car to swipe down there in that Essex village. A doctor's car. We had to work fast. A dog started barking. We pushed a thing from in front of the house and got in. Greeny was driving. We'd have been fine, but that dumb cop had to stop us. He knew the car, thought it was the doctor. But I didn't kill nobody. It was Greeny. All the way it was Greeny. I never killed nobody. Nobody. I tell you, I didn't kill nobody. Nobody. Nobody.
All finished, Davis? Would you like to see the note Sergeant Wright handed me?
No, I don't want to look.
A receipt, Davis, for 10 gallons of petrol, stamped with a gallows and marked settle.
And today, as I told you, that receipt can be found in a place of special honor in the Black Museum.
Orson Welles will be back with you in just a moment.
There was no doubt, of course. From the angle of the wounds in Constable Matthews' face, it was clear that at least two bullets had been fired from the back seat of the stolen car. Davis's counsel tried to pin the blame on Green. Green's counsel tried to place it all on Davis. The jury found both men guilty, and both were sentenced to hang. Green tried to cheat the gallows, hiding a razor blade in his cell and cutting his wrist one night. But the guards discovered this in time, and the trap fell twice one morning. So the case of Constable Matthews was marked settled. And now, until next time, till we meet again in the same place, and I tell you another story of the Black Museum, I remain, as always, obediently yours.
That is some dramatic music right there. Orson Welles was pretty dramatic himself, yeah. Wasn't he?
He sure was.
We will sell no wine
before
it's time.
Remember those commercials?
Of course I do.
Palmasan or whatever it was. What was it?
Yeah, I think that's right. Palmasan
or something like that.
Palmasan.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Orson Welles. He was something, man. He did a ton of radio. He was on so many radio shows. And he was the lead in the Black Museum. And we just listened to a broadcast from 1952 called The Gas Receipt. A good show, like a murder mystery series. It only lasted a couple seasons. It aired on the BBC and in the United States over Mutual. That's the Black Museum. Hope you enjoy that.